Welcome to Mike's Camera Action, the show liked by sportos, motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads, and my mother. She thinks I'm a righteous dude.
Only her, though. Only.
Only her thinking I'm a righteous dude. The rest, nah.
Yeah, and yeah, is it actually a bit of an overstatement?
Ouch. It's more like a bleh, bleh, bleh. Oh god, this is going to come up real well. As always, I'm your host, Carl, and I'm joined by my co-host, Alex.
Hello.
And Alex, this week
was... Hello.
No, I'm not saying his name here.
Frank on National Time.
God damn it. All right, do we have a sponsorship deal? Is this how it happens
I wish.
Now? I was hoping for an Audible sponsorship deal or like a Dollar Shave Club or something.
We'll hit them up and be like, we have a podcast.
Hey, Audible, can I have another free audiobook, please? Anyway, so Alex, this is a movie that has been on my watch list for, I think, like 8 years.
Probably. Yeah, I was really surprised you hadn't seen it, considering I've seen it.
Yeah, this is something that I've been meaning to watch for about as long as I've known you. So, that's it. That's what this show is all about. So we've been watching Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and I liked it a lot. It's like a very, it's a very classic, like, 80s sort of... You know, just teen movie.
I mean,
you know?
It is a John Hughes 80s film.
That's exactly
so.
It. Like, that's exactly it. Like, this is the kind of movie that started. Well, you know, not really started, but it's one of the sort of original classic like teen movies.
Yeah, no, it is definitely one of the more iconic ones. Mm. I think it ranks up with like Breakfast Club, oh, yeah. Which is another teen one. I don't know if it's as quotable as stuff like Mean Girls, but Mean Girls is like a thing in its own right.
Well,
it's got a different vibe to it.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. But even then, like, Mean Girls is a sort of... it's not the same. Like, Mean Girls is a Tina Fey movie, which is like...
Yeah.
Her writing style is just everything is so quotable and memorable.
Yeah.
You know?
Also, I feel like Ferris Bueller is a bit more, like, introspective.
Yeah.
It's more about, like, them finding themselves rather than, like...
Yeah.
Rather than, like, in Mean Girls, it was, like, a school as a whole, sort of.
Yeah, no, this isn't really about the school. It's about the people. Like,
yeah.
It's about those few people, like, learning about... Like, it's got a bit of coming of age.
Yeah, it's a lot more of a coming of age vibe than...
Yeah. Where you've got Ferris, Cameron, his sister, Sloan as well.
Yeah.
All sort of like, yeah, just growing and become like learning things about themselves.
Yeah, and they all like learn something, which is good.
Yeah.
Like they all, or even like Jeannie, who's like starts off like, blah 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 blah, and then she's like, I did get a car while he got a stinking computer.
Yeah, she got it pretty good. So
yeah, so it was interesting.
For once in his life, Charlie Sheen gave good advice. What?
Stop giving it. Basically, stop caring.
Yeah. Stop trying so hard.
But yeah, so we're on... I've always liked, like, the sheer impracticality of this.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that it went from... They go from, like, oh, he's really sick, someone's throwing up in a car park.
Yeah.
To, he needs a new kidney.
Yep.
And then, like, It's on the
water tower has saved
the water
Ferris
tower
on
has
it.
Saved Ferris. The sign outside of Wrigley Field has saved Ferris on it. The entire city of Chicago gets behind this one kid getting maybe sick. No one's sure. And then he's like, "Yeah, I'll be fine by the weekend."
Yeah, he'll be fine. I gotta give him credit though. Like Ferris has a lot of people willing to cover for him, and who are real. Like as soon as someone goes, "Oh yeah, he's sick." And then immediately someone goes, oh, yeah, I saw him, like, passing out over the weekend, like, at this place.
It was my friend's cousin's brother's,
like this massive trail of people just like, yeah, that person saw him, like, throwing up. And it's like, okay, fair enough.
Yeah, it's like, all right. It's like, oh, I hope he's okay. And then he calls the school, or it's cold because there's payphones in the school.
We got to talk about the principal immediately, Rooney.
Yeah.
Who's just, he puts so much work into busting Ferris. And it's too much. Like he's under the assumption that Ferris is doing this all maliciously, and he's going out of his way to catch him red-handed, and it's so far.
Yeah. See, like, I think the thing about it is that like he doesn't have. This is his one sort of power trip thing.
Yeah.
Like he's not the principal. He's the dean of students.
Okay.
That's the thing. Yeah. It's like he's in charge of students, and that's all he gets.
Okay.
Yeah, it's just one of those ones where it's just like I think that's the reason, and I think like there's been run-ins with like him and Ferris before.
Yep. Oh, he's been missing 9 days of school already.
Yeah.
I would assume that that there's some animosity between the two at that point.
Yeah, so at that point he gets and then like he just I think has had enough.
Mm.
You sounded like Dirty Harry just then.
I do love there is this one moment when he's going down the hallway like after that phone call.
Yeah.
And he like runs down the hallway, and then comes to a class door, stops and starts walking, then starts running again. And I couldn't help but laugh during that scene because I've seen one of my teachers do that in high school.
Really?
Once. Yeah.
Yeah, because you gotta like not present a bad like example for the kids.
Yeah, you can't show everyone that you're running. But I saw that and I just had a flashback to like, I saw someone do that when I was like in year nine.
it's just one of those things. What else was I? Yeah, like he's definitely. I love Grace, his like secretary.
Oh god, she's amazing.
So the bit where she's pulling all those pencils out of her hair was ad-libbed. It wasn't originally meant. She just stuck a whole bunch of pencils in there and started pulling them out one by one, and they were filming it, and it's great. Like she is obviously bored.
As you would be.
As well as like all the names that she lists off at the like who like of the people who like Ferris Bueller.
Yeah.
That was mostly ad-libbed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like she just started pulling names out and it's like, all right, let's roll.
Sure, sluts, dickheads, whatever.
Yeah.
But these are all clicks.
But it makes the film feel a lot more natural.
Yeah.
It's very
organic.
Yeah.
At least in certain parts.
I feel like it's mostly organic, but like it starts to stretch the reality.
There's like the organic stuff, and then there's like Ferris Bueller being like a young Frank Underwood, where he just starts monologuing to the camera about like, you know, oh yeah, about Cameron's upbringing.
It's like how to avoid ending in a doctor's office. Lick your palm. I know it's childish, but
I do like the opening when he starts like when we first get that talking to the camera bit, and it's got like the text coming up on screen.
Yeah.
I thought that was really I thought that was the best use of him talking to the camera in the entire movie.
Yeah. I like the bit where he's in the shower and he's like, don't believe in isms. and then he's like, puts the thing down and he's covering the camera. I feel like it was a good way to like describe his like internal monologue.
Yeah.
And it worked, at least in my opinion. Because like, it was still while he was in motion. It was still while he was doing something.
Yeah.
Nothing ever like... In Scrubs, like JD stops and thinks and like monologues.
Mm.
And like it's very clear because he zones out and then he comes back in and everyone's like, what the hell, man?
Yeah. And the best use of it in House of Cards is even when Frank's doing something else, walking along in the White House, something. Like he just stops at the camera and goes, let me talk to you for a minute.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like he's always doing something while he's talking to the camera.
Even if it's just washing his hands in the bathroom.
Yeah, he's washing his hands, like talking to the camera. And then he walks off, and that's it. And I really, really enjoyed that because it's, and like you were saying, it made it feel more organic. Like, even though talking to the camera is not something that I would consider organic.
That's something I've picked up doing some theater stuff is whenever you're doing a monologue, there's got to be some action in there.
Yeah.
You don't just stop and talk to the audience for a minute. You have to have some motion going on, and it gives you beats and pauses. And
yeah, and it really does. Like when he's washing, like you said, when he's washing his hands, he stops to tip the attendant and then walks out.
Yeah. Who you would think is hearing all the monologue, but not. It's all up here, apparently.
Yeah, like it's just really an internal monologue.
Mm.
But yeah, I really do think this film like feels very... I don't want to say like it's organic, but not natural.
Okay.
Like there's definitely...
No, there's some like really...
The bit where he hacks into like the school computers.
Yeah.
That's a bit of a stretch.
Mm.
The parade bit was a stretch.
The parade comes out like... Really, our left fielder, it's just like, how is Ferris now on the parade? And how is he on the float? Why is he now performing a song? Who led him up there? Like, what's happened?
See, but my favorite thing about the song that he performs, it's the one he's singing in the shower.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't pick up on that detail.
Yeah, no. It took me a couple of watches to pick up on it, but he actually sings the song in the shower.
Huh.
He's like, I recall Central Park in fall. And he's like singing into the shower head.
Yeah.
And then he comes back and he's singing it on the parade float.
Okay. That's really cool.
Yeah. Like it was actually, I felt a really interesting like sort of tie-in together.
I think also in the police station when his sister's walking out, she starts singing the same song.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it does come up a few times.
Yeah. Okay. It's one of those songs that does actually keep reappearing, I felt, which worked into the making the film seem more organic.
Yeah, you got to have those motifs.
Yeah, it's like it's not like forced in there. Like, oh, I learned this song. It's no, he's just singing it in the shower because he wants to.
I wish I wrote down what model Cameron's dad's car is.
Ferrari. The Ferrari. Yeah.
Yeah, because it's such a beautiful car. And there's a moment in there where I was like, oh, it's not coming back. It's like really early on, I was like, there's no way they're going to return this car to his dad in the same condition they left it in. It's just impossible the moment they leave for that to happen.
Yeah, you know they made like 5 different versions of that car.
Really?
Yeah.
What, for the movie?
Yep.
Really? What for?
To crash it.
Oh, okay.
Like, the one that was actually driving around was the legitimate Ferrari, but
yeah.
They made, like, a few, like, just fiberglass bodies to total.
Yeah. Well, you'd have to, because there's no way you want to trash the original.
1961 Ferrari 250 GT.
Okay.
Oh, but look at it.
It's gorgeous. It's a really pretty vehicle. Beauty. And there's just, like, they hand it to the shadiest guy at the garage. Like, immediately. Like, Ferris said, and the fact that I think Ferris handing that guy a fiver makes it worse somehow.
Yeah.
Like, just, I mean, like, first off, the guy is shady as fuck, and he gets even worse when Ferris just says, hey, take extra special care of it, because immediately he starts joyriding it.
Yeah, it was good.
And then the guy's doing, like, takes out for a joyride with his friend, and then we cut back to them, and they're doing complete jumps in the car, like, all wheels off the ground.
Yeah, it was so good.
I think at like 5 points in the movie, I wrote down in my notes, that poor Ferrari.
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Yeah, they were like 3 cars for the movie.
Okay.
They did bring in a real 250 GT for the close-up shots.
Oh yeah.
Gotta
be legit.
So apparently okay, so the ones that they drive were actually replicas, and apparently one of them is an automatic because Matthew Broderick couldn't drive manual.
Wow, I have something in common with Matthew Broderick. Who knew?
Yeah, the cars were actually a real pain.
Mm. Oh, vehicle wrangling's always difficult in movies.
No, as in, like, it didn't work because they were replicas. Oh, it was, like, a bit Dodge.
Oh, okay. Even then, like, it's an old car.
Yeah.
Sometimes you tend to have trouble with that, but the fact that they weren't driving them around though, so they probably did. That's the thing. If you're doing replicas of a nice car, you probably want to just make it for as cheaply as possible.
Yeah, that's why they were unreliable.
Yeah, because so
it wasn't the age.
Trash.
It was because it was. Yeah.
It's just a go-kart engine underneath.
Yeah, probably or something like it. Yeah, no, but the car, fantastic.
Mm.
It's like, why don't you pick up my car? No one will drive that piece of shit. It's like, how do you call it a piece of shit? It is a piece of shit. I envy your thing. I don't have a piece of shit myself, so I have to envy yours.
I have to envy your piece of shit car.
Yeah, and it's like that sort of stuff that feels so natural.
Mm.
And I just love it. I love this film for it. It's just so organic. So, like, all the characters work off each other.
There's some great lines in there. One of my favorites was when Sloane's coming out with Rooney and he's trying to console her about her dead grandma. And at one point he's just like, I had a grandma once. 2, actually. It's just like, there's nothing he can say to fix it.
Yeah,
he doesn't know
still,
what he's doing.
Still do, actually.
Yeah, still do.
Still alive. My favorite bit also is that, like, when she comes down and she doesn't just kiss Ferris lightly.
No, she Frenches him in front of Rooney.
Yeah, and Rooney's like, isn't that kind of family?
Oh, it's that kind of family. Like, he's got nothing to make of it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh. I'll just go then.
My favorite thing, though, is that when Matthew Broderick, Ferris asks Sloane to marry him.
Yeah.
And she is like, yeah, I know you'll be the only like senior with a husband, but...
What? Bruh, way too soon.
Bro.
Dude.
But also, like, when they're talking about what Ferris Bueller is going to end up doing, and Cameron's just like, he's going to be a fry cook.
Yeah, with his attendance rate, sure.
He only has one sick day.
One.
Yeah, like...
According to the computer.
According to the computer.
We'll see how like, his grades say
like
at the
two
end.
Or three, you know. But yeah, it's the most... It's amusing. I just love, like, how they all just riff on each other.
Mm.
Like, Cameron... Like, Ferris thinks Cameron's, like, way too stuck up.
Yeah.
And is just gonna, like, mentally break. So he's trying to, like, help him out by, like, doing all this crazy stuff, but it's not helping Cameron at all.
Did you notice the Ferrari's license plate is nervous?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Like, yeah.
Okay, because he's terrified of it right now.
It's like, it's like about his dad and the retainer, and he was like, it was like a piece of shit.
It's like a
plastic.
Shit piece of plastic. He loves the car. He hates his wife.
Yeah.
He sounds like he has a terrible father.
Oh, like his whole family is, you know, kind of messed up.
Mm.
Like there's references to the mother's like alcohol or like, like alcoholism or something.
Yeah.
It's like, is your mother in a room? And it's like, no, she's somewhere else.
Mm.
It's like, ooh. But yeah,
contrast that with Ferris's amazing, lovely parents who are like, he's trying to get better. I think we'll get him a car.
Yeah, like that's sort of like, well, I think the whole thing was that she was always trying to use that bonus to buy Ferris a car.
Yeah, that was exactly
like,
it.
It was like they felt bad because they didn't buy him a car in the first place. But like, I just like how they call in on him to make sure he's okay. It's that sort of like level of like, that's what like parents do. Like,
yeah.
When your like kid is sick.
Yeah.
I remember absolutely. Like every time I was staying home sick, mum around lunchtime would call me to make sure I was okay.
I think like twice a day I'd get a phone call just being like, "Hey, how you doing, kid? You're still sick?
Yeah.
Should we have really sent you to school? Yes. You sound better.
Yeah. But that sort of stuff, and that's what I mean. It's like the film feels so organic.
Yeah.
But I also love the wackiness.
Oh, yeah.
The wackiness of the film is what sells, like, makes it goes from, like, beyond, like, just good to great.
Oh, yeah. That makes it.
Like, the bit where they trick Mr. Rooney into thinking that Sloane's grandmother actually died.
Oh, God, that's so... The way Ferris pulls that off is so good. It's just, like, he's sitting there with Cameron on the phone, and he's like, oh... It's Ferris Bueller, I bet. And then it turns out that's just Cameron because Ferris calls in and says, "Hey, Mr. Rooney, I'm sick. I can't come in today."
He's like, "Hey, can you? Hey, Mr. Rooney, can you get my sister to pick up all my homework for me?" And he's combing his hair.
Yeah.
And they call the Petersons, and it's like, "Sorry, we cannot come to the phone." And it's like, Jesus, they went like all out.
They put in so much work to that.
Yeah, and then you've got the restaurant scene, the one restaurant where his dad just goes to eat.
Yeah, somehow he manages to pull that off. But also, I gotta say, like the way they get that reservation is they didn't call in. He looks over the thing at like who's got a reservation for three people, and it says, "Oh, we're them." The guy who actually had that reservation never showed up.
I think he was actually standing outside with Ferris's dad.
Really?
But
did he just not come for his reservation?
So, I think it's, I actually wonder whether or not he was, okay, so apparently he's an actual dude.
Really?
Yeah.
It's Abe something or other.
Abe Froman.
Froman, that's it.
The Sausage King of Chicago.
Yeah. Is he an actual person?
Or maybe he is now. After
Yeah, that would also be a possibility.
Yeah, because there's the Sausage King of Chicago, Abe Froman, who has a Twitter account that's from 2010.
Hmm?
Yeah. But then again, they all have Twitter accounts these days.
That's true.
Yeah.
There's a novelty Twitter account for everything.
Yeah, it's never expected. It's never actually
Yeah, that's the thing. The guy just didn't show up for his reservation. They just got away with it.
Yeah, they just got away with it.
Drinking their ice water from wine glasses.
It's like, you touch me, I yell rat. Also, it's like, I have another line on the phone. I have a call. Take it. There's a phone over there. Take it.
It's clever. I like it.
I just like how everyone just falls for their shit, and it's great. Like, everything works out for Ferris.
Everything that could work out for Ferris works out perfectly for him. Even his sister learning a lesson just in time to save him from Rooney.
Yeah.
Like, every little detail that could work out, even the act of him narrowly managing to sneak into the same taxi his dad was about to get in.
Yeah. Also, when he...
Oh, here we go.
I just remembered the scene where, like, they're in the taxi and the taxi with the dad pulls out beside. Yep. And he looks over those dudes in the car, then he looks back at, and then Sloane's
just
like...
Sloane with her sunglasses on.
Like laughing, but looking down at, like, her legs, and it's like, ooh, hello.
Like, at one point, I think she winks at Ferris's dad, and then Ferris is just like, what? What's he doing? And she's like, he's making obscene gestures.
He's licking the glass.
Yeah.
My favorite bit, though, is like, even in the paper that he's reading is Save Ferris.
Yeah. Wow, that story got to print real fast.
Yeah.
It got around quick.
That reminded me with the, when I said about Wrigley Park, someone actually figured out what day Ferris Bueller's day off was.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause they figured out using the baseball game.
Oh, okay.
So someone did the maths.
They did the math.
It's the 5th of June, 1985 is Ferris Bueller's day off.
Huh, right before summer.
Yep. So because it was the Cubs and the Braves.
Yep.
So they even figure out which foul ball was the one that Ferris Bueller caught.
Really?
Yeah, these are baseball nerds. So baseball people are like super into statistics.
No, I love it when you get two like fandoms crossing over. Like you get the people who are super into Ferris Bueller's Day Off and the people who are super into baseball in order to do the math on it.
Yeah.
I love that. Thank you, internet.
Yeah, the Cubs Braves the top of the 11th, the game tied 2-2. First pitch at Wrigley was at 1:25 p.m. Yeah, so as they reckon the game finished at 4:30, meaning Ferris, Sloane and Cameron managed to go to the art museum and the lake and perform two musical numbers during the parade and still make it home by 5:55 p.m. into 90 minutes.
Damn.
Yeah.
It's all a very fast adventure.
Yeah, it's although some people reckon it's actually the September the 17th.
Okay.
Because it's the Von Steuben Day Parade, which is like a German-American thing, and it takes place, the parade offer, it takes place on his birthday on the 17th of the 17th of September. So it's like, that parade was like a legitimate parade that they crashed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they actually crashed a parade. The crowd there was a legitimate crowd.
Huh.
Who was there for just, that's why he sings Dunkirchen.
Yeah.
Is because it's German.
Yeah.
It's also the other funny thing about it is that, like, the construction workers you see dancing were just construction workers that were there. They had a job to do. They were working on that building, just begrooving a little.
It's all legit.
Yeah, like, so much of this film is just, like, built off the fact that it's, like, so natural.
Mm. Including finding Charlie Sheen in a police station for drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you say earlier? He hadn't slept in 48 hours?
Yeah, no, he'd stayed up for like 48 hours in order to like do that, like get that look. Because he's like very pale.
Oh, bags under the eyes. He's
looks,
talking softly and like,
he looks like he's
very spaced out.
Cooked.
Yeah.
And yeah, he just because he stayed up for ages.
That's pretty method right there. Like you can achieve that just with makeup, but for the actual like physicality of it, good on him.
Yeah, no, he was like, he was fried. But yeah, like there's some interesting things. Like the actor that plays Ferris's teacher is a legitimate economist.
Yeah.
Which
makes sense because I just gotta say, the teachers in that school, holy crap, no wonder Ferris has 9 sick days off. They're boring.
Yeah, that's part of the point.
Yeah, but they're the dullest mother. Like I was falling asleep in the 2 seconds of screen time they had.
Yeah, I would have been asleep for ages. Yeah, Ben Stein, who's the economics teacher, is, I think I read somewhere that he was actually, he actually helped Nixon.
Okay.
Like he's been, he's still an economist. He still appears on like CNN and stuff like that.
It was interesting. Like, I like those scenes in the school because it was very, like, it reminded me of stuff it was like stuff I'd seen in classrooms myself growing up, but ramped up to 11.
Yeah.
Where the teacher's sitting there saying, like, in every line he's got, he's just like, all right, anyone? Like, he's talking about the Great Depression, and he's like, the government put in anyone, anyone, this program, which, anyone, did not work. And, like, he kept doing stuff like that. Like, just anytime he'd come to a fact, it'd be like, anyone in the class wants to answer this? Okay, I'll answer it myself because no one's going to do it. Then the other guy was, like, writing on, like, the other teacher would be, like, saying something and then would start drawing on the chalkboard and would pause what he was saying in order to draw something with, like, too much effort into it. Like,
represents.
And it's just, like, so much work into drawing something that you could just say and it's just too much effort.
Yeah, he was a speechwriter. Ben Stein was a speechwriter for Nixon and Ford.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, like, he also made a film about creationism. Yeah, so that's fun. Yeah, it's interesting.
Okay.
But yeah, so it's just, yeah, it's just, yeah. Anyway, yeah, it's just like full of all these like characters that like, you know, feel natural. Like everyone's like super concerned about Ferris. Yeah. If ever it's when Jeannie like smashes, it's like money for Ferris Bueller. It's like, where will you be when Ferris Bueller needs money for Ferris Bueller? And I'm like, does no one know who she is?
No, I don't think anyone even knows who Ferris is.
Yeah, like
they're all raising money for him. They're all trying to get in on this action. And we literally never see these people engage with Ferris at any point in the movie.
I think the girl that he speaks to on the phone after, it's like, you know Ferris Bueller? Yeah, he's on the phone. And he's like, and he's like pressing the piano and like making the sick noises.
Yeah, got the coughing.
And he just presses them all down at once. And, and she's like, you reckon you'll be fine by Saturday? Yeah, I'll see you there. And then hangs up and it's like, what?
Yeah, I'll be fine. No worries. Yeah, I'll be at your pay. Easy.
It's like, oh, he needs a new kidney. No, it'll be fine.
He'll be fine. He'll get over it.
I'll feel better tomorrow.
They'll give me a kidney transplant right now and I'll feel all better.
Yeah, that's
that's totally how it works. You get the transplant and then you're good.
Yeah, no, it's just one of those bizarre things. And that's what like makes the film like one of the classics is just how willing everyone is able to accept this.
Yeah.
Except Mr. Rooney, like all the kids and like other adults mean well. Mr. Rooney's just the weird dude.
There's a moment there where I was like, okay, he's cracking, which is when he's at Ferris's house trying to break in.
Yeah,
and he's like climbing on this pipe in their like garden, trying to peer in through the window. At one point, his foot falls into the mud and sinks through, and he just curses, Ferris! And it's like, dude, you're trying to break into his house. He's doing nothing to you. Yeah. You can't blame him for the fact that his garden is muddy.
Yeah. I just thought about Well Wishers and the nurse.
Yeah. Oh, God, the nurse.
It's like this nurse in like this one of the skimpiest outfits, and it's like, with the whole heard you were feeling ill, headaches, fever, and a chill. I'm here to restore your pluck because I'm the nurse that loves to. And the door slams.
Yeah.
Like, Jeannie has had enough of everyone like trying to save Ferris.
Yeah.
Because she knows. No one believes her, but she knows.
Yeah. She's the only person who sees through it.
Like, she sees through it, but then like just accepts that, like, you know, this is who Ferris is. Like,
yeah.
He is like a being of chaos.
An agent of change.
Yeah, like, it's all he does is he causes chaos around him. Mm. Like, he ended up being responsible for the crash of Cameron's dad's car.
Totally destroyed it.
You know, he Cameron tries to drown himself and they were just chilling in a hot tub. Man, Cameron is so uptight.
Well, you can see where it comes from, though.
But, like, you also see the changes. Like, when he's at the art gallery and you've got, like, that moment where, like, he's looking at that... It's that really famous painting, and yeah. I always forget what it's called, but it uses pointillism,
yep.
where like you use the dots to make different cut, like to form the painting.
I love that it's doing like the match cut from him to the painting, back to him, back to the painting. But yeah. every time it's getting closer and closer to the point where you can't even tell what it is anymore. It's just like a green like blur of paint.
Yeah, it's just dots on a yeah. on a thing, and you're like, what?
Like, I love that it gets so like it's super extreme close up on him, and that goes to extreme close up, and it's just like, this is just canvas.
Like, but I feel like he really like that was like the moment where like Cameron sort of like changed.
Yeah.
For lack of a better word, it was like he started like, and this is what I mean about the film being introspective. Yeah. Is that like it's not like about relationships with others; it's about relationship with yourself.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was done really well.
Mm.
My other favorite bit is when they're like all holding hands at the teacher.
Oh, at the museum with the daisy chain of kids.
Yeah, you could not do that these days. No. I would probably.
Oh, just jump into a line full of children and start chaining with them.
Yeah,
that chain was so long.
Yeah, there was a lot of
kids. There was a lot of kids, and they're just like all arm's length spread out, like just holding hands.
Yeah, they're just crossing from one end of the screen to the other. Yeah,
like at one point, you've just got. There's the left side of the frame, there's the right, and there's children the entire length of it still going.
Yeah. I like that, though. It was sort of like very...
Reminded me of primary school a little bit.
Did you have a daisy chain?
Not quite. Instead, it's like... My primary school was weird where they had like, all right, now when we're walking through an area, it's two lines, and then hold hands with the person on your right / your left, like two lines side by side, and yeah. then and walk along that way. So instead of daisy chaining behind you, it's to the side of you, which is really weird, but whatever.
I mean, like, that kind of makes sense, so that way you've always got a buddy.
Yeah.
My school just used the buddy system, being like, you're a buddy, you're a buddy. Cool. Don't let each other out of your sights. Cool.
That way you... Yeah, but then you can just do chaos together.
Good. Good.
It's okay, teacher. I could see my buddy the whole time.
and the thing's on fire. It's like, I saw him the whole time.
Don't worry, I was with him, keeping an eye on him. No worries. You didn't tell me to stop.
Well, he had matches. Yeah, like, there's just so much about this film.
Mm.
Is like so many different layers. Like when Mr. Rooney gets on the bus at the very end and the kid sits next to him like, gummy bear?
Oh god, him sitting on that bus, it was like watching a warden in a prison get on a prison bus.
Yeah.
It's just like everyone's locking eyes with him. He's so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
it's not
comfortable at all.
I also really like the way they did the end credits in this, where that's the end credit.
Yeah.
Is just, the movie keeps playing the whole way through.
Yeah.
It starts, you continue, like, you stay there watching a scene in the end credits, and then that's done. Like, the ending is still, while the credits are on screen, just happening. It's just, oh, here's a little bonus extra bit for you.
And then there's the post-credit scene. Yeah, the post-credit scene, which is my favorite, because it's Ferris, and he's, like, in his, like, bathrobe. It's like, yeah. You're still here? Go home.
What are you doing? Go home. And that's what...
Deadpool riffs off.
Yeah, Deadpool does the exact same thing in the first Deadpool film. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why I was like kind of surprised, because like I remember I saw Deadpool like twice in the cinemas. The yep. first time I missed that scene because I wasn't expecting it.
Yep.
Because like even though it's a Marvel movie, it's...
You still got to stick around for him.
Yeah. And then I saw it the second time and I was like, hang on, what? This is just Ferris Bueller's Day Off
it's
ending.
It's just Ferris Bueller's Day Off, but now he's talking about Deadpool 2.
Yeah, it's like, oh, maybe Keira Knightley, shave her head, she can play Cable.
She's got range. I still want Keira Knightley to play Cable. She could totally do it.
Yeah, it's like, but it's like that sort of stuff that like I just love. Mm. It's what makes it's like little things that grow the film. And
yeah,
I definitely feel like this film took place in a world.
Yeah,
like it was a self-contained adventure within like a world of this film.
Okay,
rather than like some films that just feel like they happen.
Mm.
Like, removed from everything.
Yeah.
This definitely felt like it took place within a society. We live in a society.
They live in a society.
But, like, no, because the fact that you went from, like, oh, Ferris Bueller is sick to, like, save Ferris being on, like, yeah. the water tower.
Mm.
It all added together into, like, this one massive sort of community. Like, not community, but, like, sort of the idea that they're all rallying behind Ferris Bueller.
Yeah.
Even though he's not sick.
No, he's not. I do really like that. Like, just the way it gets so out of hand for him.
Yeah.
Like, for him, it's just, yeah, I'm gonna not go to school today.
He licked his palms. He's got a phony fever.
Like, it's just like a, me and my friends are gonna not go to school today. Instead, we're gonna hang out. That's it. But the entire town goes mad. Like, it's this tiny little thing for him that just the entire town picks it up and goes, dude, there's this kid in high school, and he's dying. And he needs a kidney, and we got to save him.
See, but my favorite thing is that you keep talking about it being a town, but it's the city of Chicago.
It's all of Chicago.
It's all of Chicago.
Yeah, I say town, but that's the wrong word entirely. Yeah, no,
it's Chicago, a legitimate city.
Yeah, it's the center of Illinois.
I know a lot of John Hughes' films take place in Chicago.
Yeah?
Yeah, apparently.
Okay. Any reason for that, or?
No, maybe just from Chicago. I don't know.
Maybe.
I haven't really seen a lot of his work.
Okay.
Because I haven't seen Breakfast Club.
Okay.
Yeah, should I do know. That sometime. Weird. But yeah, probably.
Not today.
But yeah, no, the fact that this film definitely feels like it takes place like in a world makes it feel so much more... I want to say
it's
realistic.
A world gone mad. It's really
I
want
to say realistic, but it's not realistic. But I'm going to go back to how I kept describing it with organic.
Yeah, it makes up its own kind of laws.
Yeah.
And it follows those hard.
Yeah, follows them so hard, and it works so well.
Yeah, and the law of this world is that Ferris gets his way.
Yeah, the world is that Ferris wins.
Yeah, world order is, it doesn't matter how hard you swim against the current, Ferris wins. you can't beat him.
Unless he's trying to get a car.
Yeah, well, he gets one anyway.
Yeah.
Or he will.
Yeah, he will eventually.
Yeah, you know that at some point he's going to get his way. You can't stop him.
Like, he foiled Mr. Rooney. Yeah, he's like the hero of the narrative.
Yeah, and like even when he gets busted, like he shows up, like Rooney's waiting for him in his backyard. Just like at some point he's going to come through that door. I know it.
Yeah, my favorite thing though is that he comes in and he runs into Rooney.
Yeah,
but
Rooney like grabs him right there, and Jeannie also opens the door and says, "Oh, thank you for driving Ferris back home from the hospital. I'd hate to see a sick person walk home." And then immediately she's like, "Oh, by the way, I found your wallet in the kitchen."
Oh,
fuck.
She just yeets.
We couldn't make it through an episode without you saying yeets it.
She just throws it to the dog.
Yeah,
and then it's like, oh no,
that fucking dog. It's terrifying.
Yeah, it's like, catch. Like, he just gets dunked on hard.
He just has the worst day of it.
Yeah.
Like, everything that can go wrong goes so wrong for him.
Yeah, and it's just like, he's just trying to do it. And then, like, there's the bit where
you're
like...
You know, Fancy's going way too far with his responsibilities as a dean.
Yeah, surely they're a prison. Like, I know that I think in some places there's, like, truant officers where they catch kids who are playing hooky.
Really?
I don't know. I've read about it somewhere.
Wow.
Yeah, like it's to make sure that kids are in school.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It's principal. Just going like to the lengths of like Principal Skinner in that one episode of The Simpsons.
Yeah, it's that one episode of The Simpsons.
Like, am I out of touch? No, it's the kids who are wrong.
Yeah, there are people in some places who are legitimately hired to keep kids in school.
Eric called in sick today. Go find out where he is. Track down that child.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah,
also terrifying. I would hate to have that in my upbringing. Just be like, yeah, I can't come into school today, and then someone fucking like some private investigator rolls around my house, being like, "All right, pal, let's see that."
I think it's
more
to just find like if kids are like hanging about somewhere, they like, "Why aren't you in school?"
Yeah.
Like, which no one really cares about here.
No, you don't really get that.
At least not in Melbourne.
No.
The amount of kids I see in the city just alone.
Yeah, just anywhere you go, it's just like, oh, you're in a school uniform right now. Why aren't you at school?
Yeah, why are you not at school?
There's no field trip here. I don't see anyone else by you. Why are you here?
Well, I mean, I had an unsupervised excursion once, so maybe they're doing that.
Huh. Yeah, but to a shopping mall, Alex.
What?
But to a shopping mall, like
no,
a shopping
to the
center. I've seen a few around like shopping centers before, and it's like, nah, this kid shouldn't be here.
No,
there's no way you're on an unsupervised field trip to a to an EB Games.
No, I did have once an excursion to a shopping center.
Sure,
we'll go into the cinema and then I don't know.
Okay, fair enough.
Something. It was in the shopping center.
Fair enough.
It was in the shopping center. But yeah, that describes my day off.
Wow, yours is so much less cool than Ferris Bueller's.
I know, right?
You didn't even destroy a car.
See, but like, you couldn't do Ferris Bueller's day off on today.
No.
Like, everyone's got a camera.
Yeah.
In their pocket. Someone will record something.
Mm.
Whether or not some dude trying to break up a fight.
Yeah.
You know.
That's the thing. Like, eventually there'll be...
That Nana with her iPad filming the parade.
Yeah, there'll be a viral video going up around of the parade. Like, someone will post on their Snapchat or someone will post to Twitter about, like, this...
Yeah, no,
this someone will just get a picture of the parade and it's like, oh, there he is.
I can imagine, like, in a modern day thing, say Ferris would be a Snapchat geo filter.
Sure.
It's like, save Ferris.
Save Ferris, Chicago.
I think that would be like a legitimate thing. I mean, it's like at the baseball game, you swipe over and it's Save Ferris because they're raising money.
See, I'm trying to think of how you could do Ferris Bueller's Day Off movie to like still you could do you could I still think you could do it today.
Yeah, you could, but
it'd be a different movie.
It'd get caught for sure.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, like, oh, it depends on whether or not he goes to one of those schools that actively checks Facebook and stuff.
At this point, I feel like it's only a matter of time before they all do.
Yeah.
Like, that's inevitable.
Yeah, like, I definitely think, like, there would be a Snapchat geo filter, say Ferris. Like, I feel like they just wouldn't, like, photograph anything or anything like that. That's how they would get around it.
I mean, you'd inevitably have, like, Instagram selfies of Cameron, Ferris, and Sloan going up, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Like, just them at the art gallery.
Yeah, like, you'd have them over time, but, like, not all at once.
Mm.
Like, if Ferris was anywhere near smart. Like, Ferris live streams the entire day.
See, that wouldn't shock me if there was just, like, a Periscope in, like, the modern version where they're just, like...
Wouldn't use a Periscope.
Eh.
Oh, it's still more popular than Meerkat, I suppose.
Facebook Live, whatever. Like,
yeah.
That would be an interesting way to do it, where the movie is just, like, a Facebook, like, a found footage type movie where it's all Facebook Live of, like... I'm saying, like, that I can see that being a way you could make it.
Yeah, right. We're
like, if you want to make it same but different.
Is this another thing where we're going to make a film based off something we've rambled about during the show?
Well, you're welcome to, but after you get Space Wizard sticks off the ground, Alex.
All right.
That's your job.
After you get the zombie, the unicorn horror movie.
Unicorn horror, of course.
Yeah, we got to get on these.
Yeah, we do have to get on these. I feel like we have to get, like, at least short, like, rushed version of these scripts out. We should have, like, a thing where we put up, like, these scripts once a week.
Yeah.
You know, just have some, like, just to rough degrees, just have, like, outlines of how we would make these movies.
Yeah, I feel like if we were anywhere near smart, we would have done NaNoWriMo.
Oh, what now?
It's where, like, the writing month is, like...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, where, like, people write novels and stuff.
Mm.
I think it's, like, National Novel Writing Month or something. But it shortens down to that where, like, you just write a project over the month.
Hmm.
You got to get, like, certain, like 20,000 words or something over the month.
Oh, God.
But these are, like, people who are, like, super invested in it.
Yeah, these are people who are authors. Yeah.
Or just general people who like writing.
Yeah. More so than I.
And me. Yeah, so that's...
Okay.
I thought some Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yeah.
Featuring Carl. what's the film for next week again?
So next week we've got a guest on. We've got David coming back, who, if our fans remember, he was from, I think, like, episode 7 when we did Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
So we've got another, I believe it's another sort of less quality animated movie that you probably may never have heard of called Tales from Earthsea.
Yeah, I've not heard of that.
So I've heard it's based on, like, it's similar to Lord of the Rings, it's based on a novel. And it has some shortcomings that we'll be sure to talk about, but also maybe some merits. We'll see. I'm really looking forward to actually seeing how this plays out.
So. All right, let's see how it goes.
All right, so join us next week for Tales from Earthsea.